had a friend that came into my office a few weeks back. He had a tooth, something he'd found up around Alechnagik, and he wanted to know what kind of tooth it was. My guess was moose, based on size and shape, though I'd never hold myself out to be any sort of tooth expert, where animals are concerned, or people for that matter. I ran it by Andy, the refuge moose and caribou guy, and he confirmed that it was, in his opinion as well, from a moose, which is as close to absolute as you're going to get, short of some sort of DNA analysis. Where humans are concerned, we often somewhat take our teeth for granted, and I'll cop to the fact that I can be pretty bad about that. My wife is at the other end of the spectrum, with our girl somewhere in the middle. Fact is, teeth are just pretty darned important, and can be even more so for different folks, depending on your diet. I rely pretty heavily on a meat-based diet, so maybe I should be more diligent where the care of my teeth is concerned. The friend that brought the tooth to my office, combined with some conversations that came up in a few classrooms last week, had me thinking about teeth, and not necessarily my own. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I was sharing with a couple of classes that if you considered animal dental structure, at one end of the spectrum you might have something like a wolf, an animal that eats just almost nothing but meat. A wolf's teeth are largely sharp and pointy, and designed to rip things apart. At the other end, we could maybe put a moose, to keep it on local animals, with those big flat, or flattish anyway, molars, designed to grind and crush plant matter. I had a professor in college share with us during one lesson that if you took the two ends of an animal dental structure spectrum, the animal in the middle would be a possum. I confess, it's been a lot of years, 34 actually, so I don't remember if he was talking about just North American critters or possibly a group more expansive or restrictive than that, but it was a point that stuck with me. And if you know anything about possums, you know this. They'll eat pretty much anything. So a middle-of-the-road dental structure to deal with pretty much anything sounds about right. Today, I'd like to consider some of the things we'd see, in the way of teeth, inside the mouths of some of our area wildlife. I'm sure all of us remember from some long-forgotten, or maybe it's more recent than that, elementary science class that animals that eat meat are carnivores, ones that eat plants are herbivores, and those that consume both are omnivores. Our dental structure is aligned to what we eat. Herbivores, because they're plant eaters, have strong and flat molars that are made for grinding leaves and other forms of plant matter, and either really small canine teeth or none at all. Carnivores have very defined canine teeth for tearing up other critters, combined with a more limited number of molars. Omnivores, because they eat both, have a combination of sharp front teeth and molars for grinding. Herbivores have molars that are tailor-made for eating plants. Breaking down plant matter is often a difficult proposition. As such, the molars of herbivores are wider and flatter to better grind things down and aid in digestion. Herbivore incisors are sharp for tearing off the plant parts, but they're not always found on both the upper and lower jaw. Moose, for example, lack upper incisors, but the eight on the lower jaw are sharp and more than capable. They also have other parts to assist, including a tough tongue, lips, and gums. Many types of herbivores have jaws that are capable of moving sideways. Carnivores not only feed on different things, other organisms, but often have to kill the other animal before eating it. And the teeth are used both for killing the animal and eating it. Those sharp incisors and pointed canine teeth you see on a wolf are perfectly designed to do both of those things. Molars take a backseat role and are both fewer in number and smaller than on other animals because so much of the work is done by the teeth in the front of the mouth. The presence of large pointy-looking canines, grandma, what big teeth you have, does not guarantee that an animal is a true carnivore, but it does tell us that meat is a large part of the animal's diet. In this case, I'm thinking of bears, which are actually omnivores, though to look at their teeth, their canines, it's easy to see why some people think they're carnivores. Humans are omnivores, meaning we eat a variety of foods, including meat and plant matter, and this despite jokes I've made through the years about me being a carnivore. I don't eat any fruits or vegetables. Maybe I'm an omnivore who identifies as a carnivore. A wide check of the teeth we have, though, paints a picture of an organism that makes use of a wide variety of food types. Carnivores, herbivores, and omnivores all may have some overlap in the size and shape of teeth, but if you find a skull and take a good look at its teeth, it should give you a pretty fair idea of the main food types the animal relied upon, which in turn might point you in a direction as to the animal's ID, if it's in any doubt. Going back to moose, no upper front teeth, check. 8 sharp incisors on the bottom, check. Tongue, lips, and gums that help out, check. Behind the front, moose have 6 pairs of large flat molars and 6 pairs of premolars to be able to get serious about grinding up food. The upper lip is sensitive and helps to tell the difference between fresh, soft stuff and harder twigs. The lip is prehensile, meaning it's able to grasp vegetation. Coming from Kansas, whenever I hear that word, I think of a possum's tail. A moose uses this lip to strip leaves from branches and to pull up aquatic vegetation. At the other end of that spectrum, that wolf we talked about has 42 total teeth. They have 20 in the upper jaw, 6 incisors, 2 canines, 8 premolars, and 4 molars, and 22 teeth in the lower, 6 incisors, 2 canines, 8 premolars, and 6 molars. The canines, at a couple of inches or more in length, can look quite intimidating, and powerful jaws help put those teeth to good use, yielding a bite capacity of over 1,000 pounds per square inch. Around here, foods include moose, caribou, ground squirrels, hares, and beavers. Salmon is also used during summer and fall. In other parts of the state, the menu also includes mountain goat, sheep, and deer. It's all about what's there and what's available. Let's backtrack to last week's topic, beluga whales. Belugas are carnivores, and they are also toothed whales. Belugas have 8 to 10 slightly pointy pegs on each side of their jaws, and this is true for both the top and bottom. They don't actually use their teeth for eating, but rather simply for grabbing, tearing, and holding their prey. A lot of what they eat is swallowed whole or in large chunks. They also eat a lot, as much as 50 to 60 pounds per day. Now let's go back to the herbivorous end of things for another area mammal, the beaver. Beavers are possibly as well known for their teeth as any animal we have around here. Everyone knows those incisors when they see them. But what else is there? Beavers are rodents, something I've shared before. In fact, they're North America's largest rodents, and they are second worldwide only to the capybara of South America. They have a total of 20 teeth, with those 4 prominent incisors at the front, no canines, and then 16 total premolars and molars at the back, 4 to a side, top and bottom. A beaver's teeth are about more than just food, too, as they use those incisors to cut vegetation, up to and including large trees, for the construction of dams and lodges. Belugas aren't the only marine mammals with an interesting set of choppers. Another famous set of teeth to be found on an Alaskan animal are the tusks found on walrus. Walrus tusks are nothing more than really long, large canine teeth, and they're found on both males and females, though they're much larger on the males. Tusks continue to grow throughout the life of the animal and are used for defense, mating, and just plain getting around. They use them to haul out onto the ice and also to make breathing holes in the ice. Males use theirs to aggressively guard territory and to protect their harems during mating season. While the number of teeth can vary, most adult walruses have 18 teeth. In addition to the tusks, they have a series of flattened cheek teeth, which actually aren't believed to be used all that much for eating or chewing. Walruses feed mostly on clams, mussels, snails, mollusks, and occasionally things like squid and fish. To eat these shelled organisms, they feed like a super powerful vacuum cleaner, suctioning clams and mussels from their shells, with the shells falling back to the ocean floor. Most of what they eat is then swallowed whole. Hopefully today's episode had something new for you to sink your teeth into. As you come across teeth or jawbones or skulls while out and about, and if you spend any time outdoors, that will happen. Remember that you can likely get a read on what that animal used for food, even if you're not sure what type of animal what you found came from. One last piece of information. Keep in mind that this Sunday is Mother's Day, so to all the mothers out there who are listening, happy Mother's Day. If you are a son or a dad and you're hearing this and it's causing you some level of shock, fear not. You've got 48 hours to get things right before Sunday gets here. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.